This is Express FM.
Supported by Highbury College. We are passionately pumping.
Jamal Lowe's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamal Lowe, nonchalant, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing Play Up Pompey. It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
Stop the count, because Pompey are now second in the League One standings. This relentless season rumbled on in midweek and the Blues could only manage a point at home to Fleetwood Town. We'll be hearing from manager Kenny Jackett tonight, who spoke after Tuesday night's feisty encounter at Fratton Park.
We have to be competitive. It's a very competitive league. We just make sure we keep our composure. But it's not easy because we have a group of players that are hungry and committed and want to be successful this year.
And later on, we'll be hearing even more from the gaffer as he previews tomorrow's game at the KCOM Stadium.
Sort of game you want to be involved in, live on Sky. And I've just recently come down out of the Championship and made a fantastic start. And for us as well, we want to try to keep our run going. We've pushed well up the table and see if we can keep the consistency.
Pompey travel to league leaders Hull City tomorrow evening. An away win would see the Blues top at Christmas. I'll be inviting two more Blues fans onto the show very shortly to look ahead to that game and, of course, discuss all of the events from Tuesday's game at PO4. It's one you won't want to miss, Pompey fans. A very good evening to you all and welcome along to this slight change in schedule. You're listening to Express FM and this is the Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very good evening and welcome to this Thursday edition of the Football Hour, driven to you this season by Stagecoach across the South. Download the app today simply by searching for Stagecoach on your relevant app store provider, from which you can plan and even pay for your next journey. Above all else tonight, however, I would like to start the show by sending my condolences and thoughts on behalf of myself and the entire team here at Express FM to be friends and family of John Jenkins MBE, who we sadly lost on this day last year. John was a D-Day veteran who fought for our country. He'd supported the club since 1928 and even worked as a boardroom steward at Fratton Park. His personality and contribution to the Portsmouth community made him one of the most respected people in our city, and he was awarded an MBE by Her Majesty the Queen for his services as well. Tonight, we remember John and think of those who were closest to him. So here's to you, John Jenkins MBE, who's passed away 1 year ago today at the age of 100. On Tuesday night, the Blues had the chance to make it 4 wins in a row in all competitions, following victories over Peterborough, Cheltenham and Ipswich in the weeks prior. Joey Barton brought his Fleetwood Town side to Fratton Park for match day number 18 in League One, and commentary of this one came via Andy Moon and Guy Whittingham.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Church and score!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He's gone!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
9 months, 5 days ago, these sides met in front of a full house at Fratton Park, just days before the world changed and football paused. The 2-2 draw that night secured both sides a place in the League One playoffs. Neither could even make it to Wembley. Down by the corner flag, tries to whip a cross in, gets into the area and the shot's over the bar from Curtis. It was a difficult one on the half volley, well over. And there's face down the right-hand side and there's a chance for Andrew to deliver, but he wants it back on his left foot, gets it there. Great defending from Watmore, and Williams decides anywhere will do and just hacks it out for a Fleetwood throw on the left. Watmore goes with a long diagonal ball towards Marquis, chests it down, Curtis to shoot! Great save from Luke Viler. Cross into the middle, looking towards the head of Marquis perhaps. Will it be shot from Cannon, edge of the area? area. Great defending, and the deflection sends it behind for a corner kick. It's Rossiter who blocks. As Fortune have got men over here. Harness, can he play Marquis in? Marquis to the penalty area. Marquis to hit it. Cuts back on his left foot, then back on his right, then hits it over the bar. Chance goes begging, still goalless. Marquis is chasing it. Marquis is battling with Andrew, and Andrew pulls into the ground. That's a free kick, and Andrew
gotta be.
Is in real trouble, and Pompey are saying it's got to be a yellow card. What's going on here? I think Andrew's going to get away with that one. He would have got in the book. If he's not booked over there, he goes into the book for that one without a shadow of a doubt. And Andrew has got away with it, and it's a Pompey free kick 40 yards out. And he'll go round Finlay, and he'll make it look easy, and he'll send a cross in that deflects, and Lou Viler has somehow kept it out. Great goalkeeping, because that was heading for the net. It falls loosely for Marquis, who shot deflects and just wide of the target. Closest either side have come this half. Harness is battling to try and win it, and he's done well. Harness, and he'll drive towards the penalty area. This is dangerous. Harness is shot. Side netting. In it comes from Duffy. Floated to the far post. Great delivery. And what a save from McGilvery. How on earth has he kept that one out? Corner. And that'll be it. That is the end of the game here in Fratton Park. And a bit of frustration that Portsmouth have had to settle for a 0-0 draw here at Fratton Park.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM. Pompey live.
The highlights, if you can really call them that, of the midweek stalemate at home to Fleetwood Town. OK, joining me this evening to talk about that result and later on look ahead to the next game, first and foremost, is Mark Coates. Mark, good evening and thanks for joining us tonight.
Good evening, absolute pleasure. Excited about Friday.
Oh, I think we all are, mate. Don't get ahead of yourself too quickly, because we've got plenty to discuss before then, but we will move on to that one. Like you say, it's a big game tomorrow night. So, Mark, it was a 0-0 Fratton Park on Tuesday night. Not the greatest of spectacles, but probably a fair result given how the game flowed.
Yeah, I wasn't one of the lucky, do we call them lucky, spectators that night. But my goodness, they went out to frustrate. And me and Tom, who's going to chat to you in a second, were talking about how that's typical Joey Barton. And they just frustrated us and tried to stop us playing. And I suppose we take that as a compliment. But at the same time, it was just pure frustration, like you said. And it's terrible to be... It's not good etiquette, is it, to blame the referee? But he had a terrible game as well, and it didn't help. But end of the day, do you know what? We'll take a point. And as you've mentioned already, we've played Peterborough and Ipswich lately, and to get 7 points off the three of them is not bad going.
No. Alongside you tonight, Mark, is Tom Malley. Tom, again, very good evening to you, and thanks for joining us.
Yeah, good evening, mate. Thanks for having me back.
It's a pleasure as always, Tom, and of course, Mark. We mentioned there the 0-0 draw home to Fleetwood on Tuesday night, Tom, and Mark has raised a good point. It's not great etiquette to, you know, pinpoint things on the referee or, you know, comment too much on it, but it wasn't great, was it? We're not sat here, you know, blaming anything, you know, blaming the result on the referee. We're not saying that he necessarily made any decisions of which influenced the end result, you know, but it just wasn't the performance you would expect or would hope for of a professional referee at this kind of level of football, you know, in a big game as well. Pompey and Fleetwood, two sides who will be up there gunning for promotion at the end of the season.
No, it's not. But I think this is a story we've heard all the same before, is the referees at this level can, you know, let the game down a lot. Not sure why, to be honest. But, you know, like, this isn't the first time this has happened. But then again, you know, it wasn't just the referee. We could have played better as well, I think.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, as Tom just said there, Mark, Pompey could have played better. We went into the game having beaten Ipswich, we beat Peterborough obviously the week prior, and an EFL trophy victory over Cheltenham Town as well. Three matches of which the Blues look rampant going forward, three consecutive clean sheets as well. So to go back to Fratton Park and, you know, back on home turf with 2,000 supporters behind the Blues and not to score, not really look threatening in front of goal, if I'm honest. 14 shots in total, only two on target. It wasn't a great story, not something we're too familiar with.
But he's good at that game plan, Joey Barton, isn't he? As just as we've been frustrated with long balls at time when we used to play with one up front. I think I can't imagine what Fleetwood fans are feeling, having to watch that game-spoiling gamesmanship every single week from Fleetwood. But it does work, and it stopped us in our tracks. And against Pete, I was one of the lucky ones at Peterborough game, and I loved that game. It was the goals were outstanding. We were just brilliant against a good side, really good Peterborough side, and it was a joy to watch. And I guess, you know, it's football. There's going to be differences, nuances every week, and it's unfair to expect us to maybe perform to that level all the time. But, and I'll try not to speak about it till the end, but my God, we're going to be good on Friday. I'm telling you now.
Can't wait. You're hyping me up, Mark. And Alan Swift on the email says, well, we really got roughed up on Tuesday, eh? Yeah, we both came out for the second half with both our fire dampened. What happened? The chance to go top was blown. Was it down to their manager? A fug as a player and the same as manager. It certainly worked for him as he came away with an unlikely draw. Holler's a different prospect, so it's all in our own hands to take top spot. Will we make it or blow the chance? I don't know. I cannot forecast a sensible result, but it's our big chance to displace the leaders. The odds are on us winning after the disappointing draw on Tuesday. So let's see what the team is really made of. He also says, was that a game for Minoga to rough them up in return? I know it was a sending off risk, but there's a lot of risk in football. I think Kenny made the wrong sub choices again. Hawula should have been on. He's a real game changer. He mentions Hawula there, Tom, and that's somebody who I want to focus on in the next part of the show. So we will come back to that one, Alan. But in terms of Haji Minoga, do you think Alan's got a point? Was that his kind of match where you would like to see his, you know, his rough kind of attitude and a hard-hitting style of play, you know, play against the Fleetwood Town side who were deployed to really frustrate Pompey?
Yeah, definitely. I think Alan Johnson's very good on the ball and probably a bit technically better than Minoga. But for that game, where Fleetwood are quite physical, like sort of nitty-gritty kind of play, getting stuck in, that probably would have suited Minoga down to a T. And, you know, like I said, he's very physical, got good pace, and, you know, that would have been the perfect game for him, 100%.
Yeah. Mark, again, same question to you, really. Haji Minoga, was that a game for him on Tuesday night?
Oh, 100%, and he's keen, isn't he? The only bother is he might have got sent off in his sort of when he saw the red mist, but based on the refereeing we saw, probably not actually. But he would have been the man to put in. Absolutely agree with that, 100%. Yeah.
And on, you know, a reflection, Tom, you look back at December. Of course, started with a disappointing defeat at Bloomfield Road, and what was required after that was a huge reaction to go into games like Peterborough, like Ipswich, and like Fleetwood, and get results out of them, and really get performances out of them as well. And you know, we can sit here about saying, you know, Tuesday was a, you know, wasn't a great spectacle, wasn't the greatest of games, and we missed chances to take the lead and to go top. But when you look back on those last three league games, Peterborough, Ipswich and Fleetwood, of course, 7 points out of a possible 9 without conceding a goal during that time, by the way. That's 270 minutes of football. That's a long time. That's something, I think, if you'd have offered that at the start of December after that Blackpool game, you'd have bit my hand off of that.
Yeah, and I don't think even the most optimistic probably would have predicted such positive results. And bearing in mind, I think the most impressive thing about these results is that they're all against promotion rivals, especially in Peterborough and Ipswich, who are going to be wanting to go for those automatic places. So the response that we've given since that Blackpool game has been, you know, brilliant as well. You know, not conceding a single goal, and as well as managing to score more than one in two of those games. Very impressive.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to hear now the post-match thoughts of Kenny Jackett, who spoke to Ollie Marsh after the full-time whistle on Tuesday night, first picking up the positives despite not being able to find the breakthrough.
Yeah, it is. It was a hard-fought game, and thought we were on top for the majority of it, and just couldn't find that killer ball, some of our decision-making around the box, get ourselves into the 1v1 areas, particularly wide, where we're very good, and feed him, you know, both wide men and fullbacks, and, you know, they were few and far between, and, you know, for us, slightly frustrating, and some of our decisions through the middle weren't quite there. No lack of effort, though, and good team spirit in our group, and, you know, after what is, you know, somewhat frustrating night, because we were on top, we take a point and have to move on to Friday, because that will come around very quickly now.
And of course, if you can't break the deadlock at one end, then you need to be resolute at the other end. And Craig McGilvery came up with a good couple of saves.
He did, and the one at the end was an excellent save. You know, it's gone into his midriff, and he's had a good season for us and been a consistent player all the way through his Portsmouth career, and showed again tonight what a top keeper he is.
Yeah. It was a very feisty encounter out there, plenty of yellow cards on show. Do you think that you sort of rose to that aspect of the game as well?
Yeah, we have to be competitive. It's a very competitive league. At times in the first half, we just make sure we keep our composure. But it's not easy, because we have a group of players that are hungry and committed and want to be successful this year. But there were, you know, a higher number of free kicks and bookings in the game. And at times it stopped the flow.
Obviously, as you're looking for that breakthrough in the second half, were you tempted to bring on more subs at all? You obviously brought on Ellis Harrison to try and create something.
Yeah, definitely. And you want to try to get the balance of your team, because while you always want to win it, you don't want to give the game away either and open up too much. And in terms of our forward positions, you know, particularly with John Marquis, you know, I didn't want to take John off. I always felt there was a goal late in, and he played well. Similar to Marcus Harness, you know, Marcus had one probably very good situation in the second half and one good one in the first half, which was a deflection, and the keeper made a good save and palmed it out. So, you know, sometimes those moments can be key, and you know, for your big players like that, sometimes it's good to back them and hope that they can get a goal late on. It didn't look like they lacked any energy.
The thoughts there of Kenny Jackett after the midweek stalemate at home to Fleetwood. And just something of which Kenny mentions towards the end of his interview there, Mark, was the fact that, you know, Pompey did give it a real go, and, you know, they didn't lack energy. It wasn't one of these, it wasn't like that Blackpool game in the sense that it just really looked totally lacklustre. But they gave it a go. They were going forward. They were breaking down the Fleetwood defence. It really was just the cutting edge in the final third of which we lacked. Other than that, you know, the defence stood up, the midfield were winning most of the battles, and I think we controlled most of the game. It was just a case of not being able to find the back of the net.
Yeah, and it didn't quite come together for them, and they know that. They know it's a blip, and they've played so well for throughout this month, November, you know, October, that they know that this is just a blip, that they're going to go into to the next game with all the confidence in the world, I think.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just can't wait to talk about that.
I wouldn't have guessed, awesome. Mark. I wouldn't have guessed at all. we've already mentioned, you know, the refereeing decisions, Tom, but in terms of the match, you know, the second half, Alan mentioned it within his email, that the second half just wasn't quite the same intensity as the first. It kind of died out a little bit. Do you think that was down to how ill-disciplined the first 45 was, how really uncontrolled, you know, that first period of the game was? Do you think that set up a pretty dull second half?
Yeah, potentially. I think that's a bit of the old Pompey as well, from sort of the past, last season, that a lot of our downfall was that we'd have a sort of a okay-ish first half and we wouldn't really push on for the second half. So maybe there was a bit of that coming back in, sort of our old selves, before we finally started to change our style of play a bit. So, yeah, potentially, I would say. But, you know, again, the referee's decisions probably did hamper that performance as well.
Yeah. Pompey fans, there's still plenty of time to get in touch with this evening's show. We've got around 40 minutes left before we do leave you at 7 o'clock. All the usual ways to do so. You can tweet at ExpressFM, text the word Express, followed by your name and message to 81400. You can email pompey@expressfm.com or find us on Facebook, facebook.com/PompeyLive. After the break, we'll be hearing even more from the gaffer, who speaks about the calibre of Pompey's next opponents and how big tomorrow night's game is.
We know that they have a lot of their players that played in the Championship, and if you're looking at the record of the players that they have, they're very good and made a good start for a reason. I don't really look necessarily at their results, but more importantly, the performances. It's a big game for them, as it is for us, and we know they'll be motivated to do well.
Kenny's excited for the game, and I don't think he's the only one, Mark, eh? Don't go anywhere and join us again in just a few moments' time, right here on the only radio station from the great waterfront city, for part two of tonight's Football Hour on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7
Express FM.
Welcome back to this Thursday edition of the Football Hour here on Express FM, sponsored by Stagecoach across the South. And I would say that it's just a one-off to have the show on a Thursday evening as opposed to a Friday, but we're also live here with a preview of the Boxing Day fixture at home to Swindon Town next Thursday from 6pm. That's due to Christmas Day this year falling on a Friday, so we'll once again be on a day early. I'm definitely not coming in on Christmas Day. That's not happening. I'll be here on Christmas Eve from 6 o'clock to look ahead to that one. I'll also be here, of course, on Monday night. That's staying the same to talk about tomorrow's result at the KCOM Stadium, where hopefully Pompey will have claimed all 3 points and gone to the top of the League One table. Mark, hold tight. We'll get there. I promise. We've still got a little bit more to talk about Tuesday, if you don't mind.
Okay, right. Well, if we have to, you've got to do the post-mortem, haven't you?
Post-mortem. Yeah, I guess you could call it that. We got a text here from Roger in Gosport who says, "Good evening, Jake. I'm gutted about the result. I just can't believe the referee's decisions, especially Fleetwood, who were lucky to still have 11 players on the pitch. Who knows? The Blues maybe could have won. Hold Friday. It's a win-win. Keep the faith, Roger in Gosport." Yeah, great to see Roger in Gosport getting in touch. Thank you for that text. Mockers on Twitter got involved. He says, "I want to see more end product from Callum Johnson, who needs to improve on his crossing, is letting him down. Hadji looks more lively to me, and Ryan Williams improved his end product massively at Ipswich. The more I practice," he says, "the luckier I become," says Gary Player, according to Mockers on Twitter. And yes, some good points raised there, Tom, about the, you know, we mentioned already that the kind of the final product on Tuesday night was lacking. And would it be fair to kind of pinpoint that down to Callum Johnson and even Campring? You know, the fullbacks weren't quite getting the precise crosses you'd have hoped into the box. But was it just an all round game of which, you know, from 1 to 11, it just kind of lacklustre going forward? Is it harsh to pinpoint it on just one or two players?
Yes, I know. I mean, personally, I think both Johnson and Pring are fairly, you know, they've got enough attacking momentum in their performances. You know, they should be getting down there, whipping them crosses in. But, you know, it's not just the fullbacks. You know, I think the wingers need to be providing a bit more of their crosses as well. I think Curtis is certainly one that's had enough flack over the years for poor delivery and end product. So, you know, I mean, there's for and against for both, you know, whether it's just the fullbacks or the rest of the team. But, you know, I think it was just one of them games where nothing was really quite going right.
Yeah. Alan Swift has got back in touch. He says, "I didn't necessarily think Minoga should replace Johnson, who is very capable in that position, but more on the right-hand side of the flank. He not only completes well, but crosses well too, with an eye for goal," says Alan in Southsea. Yeah, you know, further mentioning there, Hadji Minoga, Mark, from Tuesday night, could have made an impact, not necessarily from that right-back position, but we have seen in recent games this season, in particular Cheltenham Town, he played in a what looked like a right wing-back position. He's very good at getting forward, and he's got an eye for goal now, hasn't he? But he's got an eye for putting the crosses into the box, linking up the defence to the midfield and creating attacking opportunities. So, you know, in hindsight, maybe that would have made a difference in midweek. But, it's all ifs and buts, isn't it? You know, we can sit here and say that maybe this sub should have been made, but that could have been made, and it probably may not have, you know, it still may not have made such a difference. Do you know what I mean? So,
I don't know. I think he could have made a difference. Yeah. He's a kid, you know. What is he, 18, 19 now, Jake? Is he?
Yeah, and he's got that hunger, hasn't he?
Exactly, and he's got that passion. You put him anywhere, you tell him to do any role at all, and he'll do it, and he'll throw his heart into it, and he'll be 100%. And I think that's what you need, particularly against that, like you say, that gnawing, irritating, game-spoiling side like Fleetwood. And they deserve nothing less to it than to have a fervent Hadji Minoga thrown at them.
Yeah. Do you know what, Tom? Just as when we thought we'd gotten rid of Wickham, we gain a Fleetwood. And we've had Fleetwood for quite a while, and I can't remember too many games like Tuesday night. Yes, but you know they've had Joey Barton for a number of seasons now, and we all know what he's like. We know what he brings, but I've never really seen a match like that on Tuesday night where they were, you know, that I say bad, not that bad in terms. You know, that's their style of play. That's the way they set up, and fair play to them because it's got them in decent places over the last few seasons under Barton. But I've never seen a match against Fleetwood so aggressive and so so bizarre like that.
No, and this is another thing I was going to say, is that Fleetwood are actually quite a decent side at home. I personally think they play some good football, you know, a lot of on-the-ground stuff. But I think with Joey Barton as manager, I think he loves to make the point that Fleetwood is a small club, it's a tiny little town, and them upsetting bigger clubs like Portsmouth, I think he really, you know, that's something that genuinely pleases him, not necessarily looking for the win, just as long as the bigger club doesn't win themselves. I mean, I remember he made a comment after they drew away at Sunderland last season. And he said, "Like the mighty Fleetwood Town have held Sunderland to a draw." So I think that's something that he really likes to make a point about the size of Fleetwood compared to other teams in the league.
Yeah, I posed a question at the start, on social media actually before the show, Mark, and this is based upon some reaction I've seen on social media since the game on Tuesday night, and that is the performances and the contributions of Ellis Harrison, who has been questioned in recent weeks. And you know, goal scoring wise, this season, you know, hasn't been, you know, phenomenal in terms of, you know, the standards that have been set by John Marquis and the other leading goal scorers in the division. But you know, he's got 3 goals to his name so far. Would it be harsh to say that, you know, harsh to say that he doesn't bring anything to his team, because we know that his attributes and his style of play, he holds the ball up, he brings players around him into the game. It's a bit of like an Ollie Hawkins situation in previous seasons where he's been criticised about his lack of goals, but actually when you look at him, you know, off the ball and what he does to bring other players into the match, he's actually vital to the team.
Yeah, I was thinking exactly the same about Ollie Hawkins. He's a more skillful version of Ollie Hawkins. He's maybe not quite as robust, but he must win as many headers, and he knows where other players are, and he does find them even when he's battling against someone, you know, some great big heifer of a fullback, and he just manages to get that flick on. I think he brings plenty to the team, and I think he's someone we want to stay. Actually, he had that horrible season with Ipswich, didn't he? Only played a couple of games and he scored one despite that. But before that, with Bristol Rovers in the 2017-18 season, he scored a dozen goals or so. And Chaplin, who we love, only ever scored that many. I mean, he's a good player and he can score goals. He needs to be given the chance, but he needs a run at it, you know, like so many of these players, like Hawula does as well. But neither of them are going to displace Marquis. He's having a great season, and hopefully he'll do what he did at Doncaster and score more than 20.
Yeah. Jamie Spencer's got involved. He says, "It's always a competitive game against Fleetwood, and for the first time I felt as though we held our own and weren't bullied by them. Some incredibly questionable decisions from the officials didn't help us. We were clearly the side that wanted to try and play football but couldn't break down a well-organised defence. On another night, it could have gone our way, but on to Friday, with a chance to go top, we would have all taken that a couple of months ago. Jamie Spencer there on Facebook, who, by the way, will be joining us on Monday night to talk about tomorrow's fixture at Hull City. And he's pretty much hit the nail on the head, as Jamie quite often does there, Tom. You know, incredibly questionable decisions from the officials, but, you know, it just was a case of unable to break down a well-drilled Fleetwood defence.
Yeah, and I think we definitely had more control of the game as well. We had plenty of shots, albeit I think 2 were on target. We had more possession, you know. So we had the game in the palm of our hand. It's just whether we could actually break Fleetwood down and do something with the ball. Obviously, we couldn't. But yeah, you know, like you said, Fleetwood were well-drilled. They had a game plan, and they were happy to take the draw.
Yeah. Ian Chiverton on Twitter, "Never managed to match our decent first half performance," he says. "Harrison pretty poor after coming on and didn't offer anything. Fleetwood made it a scrappy game and the ref was all over the shop. Big game on Friday. Believe our front line could cause them problems," says Ian Chiverton on Twitter. And again, back to that point in regards to Ellis Harrison. And I've seen a few shouts in the week, Mark, that maybe Jordy Hawula deserves to be, you know, included in some capacity for, you know, upcoming league matches. Maybe, you know, again, if buts and maybes, but maybe he would have made the difference on Tuesday night. What do you think about that one?
Well, it's another, like I said, this is a problem up and down the country. You've got your favoured striker, the other players don't get a game, which is why I welcome things like the EFL Trophy, so they can show what they can do. And lower entry rounds in the FA Cup, when Hawula scored that absolute cracker, yes, against King's Lynn, but he showed his composure and his accuracy. But he needs a run. He's Man City stock, isn't he? He was Man City under 21s, and he scored a dozen goals in 2019, 18, 19 for Coventry, like Harrison did the year before. He's got goals in him. And I think he's got pace, and I do think he offers something different. So I can see why Jacket got him.
Yeah.
But it's time to start throwing these players on and having a bit of faith in them.
Yeah. And in regards to Jordy Huila and Ellis Harrison, you know, Mark mentions there, Tom, about, you know, Jordy Huila. He's a different kind of player. You know, Huila, he offers that pace and the energy going forward, whereas Ellis Harrison's style is, you know, more, you know, getting the ball lumped up to it, relying on him bringing it down, bringing, you know, other players into the match. They are two very, very different kinds of players. So in terms of kind of ranking them, as some people have done in the week, is it fair to do that considering they both bring different aspects to the game?
Yeah, and I think the one thing that Huila has on Harrison is that Huila can play out wide. I wouldn't really try him on the wing. You know, like you said, they are two different players. I think Huila's got more flair, skill. Obviously, his pace is consistently talked about. And if I were to bring one on from the bench, I think it would be Huila, just because I think he's got a point to prove as well. However, the only thing I feel bad for him now is that he's got Jacobs to compete with now that he's back from injury. So, you know, it's up to Jacket now what he wants to do with that.
Yeah. And a new date for the Wimbledon game as well, by the way, coming out this afternoon. That match was, of course, scheduled to take place on the 9th of January, the League One fixture at home to AFC Wimbledon, which has now been moved due to both teams' progression to the third round of the FA Cup, where, of course, Pompey travel to Bristol City. Ashton Gate is the destination. A 1:30 kickoff on Sunday, the 10th of January. The tie against AFC Wimbledon, however, will be played on Tuesday, the 19th of January, so somewhat 10 days after originally planned. And hopefully, by then, guys, we may be out of this new tier system, which, you know, we don't want to dwell on it too much, Mark, because it's not fantastic news that we've heard this afternoon, but the city of Portsmouth has been placed into tier 3 of this system, which will come into effect from Saturday morning, which unfortunately means the game against Swindon Town on Boxing Day will be once again played behind closed doors. And the 2,000 previously fortunate supporters who would have bagged tickets for that game won't be able to attend it. So a bit of disappointing news on that front, Mark.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, I'm sure it's not coincidence. You have to be careful when you say these things, but to see the fans come through the doors, to see the performance that we put on against Peterborough, I think they're linked. And I mentioned before, I said to Tom about the away records and home records for Pompey and Hull, both teams performing better away. And I'm sure that again is linked to this, to the fact there isn't that intimidating atmosphere at these away stadiums. You know, it's a level playing field. It's been a fascinating season. And we lose the home advantage as much as any team in this league when we go into tier 3.
And I don't think it's any exaggeration, Tom, to say that Pompey have been performing somewhat better at Fratton Park since the return of fans against Peterborough, against Fleetwood, two games of which, you know, 4 points obtained, 0 goals conceded. And the fans have played a big role in that. And it's going to be a shame not to see them on Boxing Day. And who knows, maybe we might be able to tell the difference. We may finally be able to answer this question, whether or not fans actually do play a part in influencing the result. Because I think on Tuesday night, behind closed doors, if that one had been played, you know, a few weeks prior, I don't necessarily think we would have drawn that game.
Yeah, but then again, you know, I think if we had lost one of those games against Peterborough or Ipswich, Fleetwood, sorry, then people would have said, no, the fans didn't make a difference at all. So, you know, it can go both ways. But yeah, it's just a shame, because as soon as you start to think things are getting better, it's back to square one again. Now the fans aren't allowed back in. But yeah, Portsmouth's known for having that good fan base. They get right on top of you. They get the team going. So yeah, we definitely can use that as an advantage. But now they're obviously not going to be there anymore. It's, we'll have to see, won't we?
Yeah. Graham Wilkins on the email says, good evening, gents. Although the Blues were held to a draw on Tuesday, it didn't help having a ref who I've checked in the last 5 matches has dished out 26 yellow and 2 red cards. But a point against Fleetwood isn't bad, and we go again tomorrow against Hull, who have been shipping goals as of late. So I'm expecting a good away win on Friday. I was too surprised Huila wasn't used again, as I'm sure he would have caused a few problems for the opposing defence. Still no player who was on the bookings tightrope was yellow carded, so it's one more game they have to go before the suspension is lifted. If any cards are dished out tomorrow, and one more thing, it's a shame about Tier 3 coming in so fans can no longer attend games. Graham Wilkins on the emails. And just a final word on Tuesday's game, Mark. I'm sure you'll be pleased to hear. We're going to shortly move on to the next one, but just a final word on it. I think you've got to give credit to the entire team on Tuesday night and indeed the manager, because that second half quite easily could have come out, you know, shaking and a little bit nervy considering the, you know, the events of that first half. But, you know, full credit because they kept their composure. They kept Fleetwood at bay.
Yeah, they're more solid in a lot of senses, aren't they, Pompey, this season? And some of the players, I've forgotten who it was, came out, and you'll remember, Jake, came out and said, the squad's smaller, it's a bit more intimate, we know each other better, there's been fewer changes. Who was it who said that again? I can't remember.
In all honesty, Mark, I can't remember.
Oh, you're normally, you've got all these things. You'll remember in a minute.
I've had so many interviews this season.
I'm not imagining it though, am I? They came out and said that, didn't they, Pompey? Yes. And you saw that again in their resilience. I said to you before the game, didn't I, that I thought we were going to lose that game against Fleetwood. Mm. We'd had a couple of great performances. We were going home again. It wasn't new having the fans there. And I think they did show some real resilience. And McGilvery reminded us, well, you've got to have strength front to back all the way through, because what a save at the end, mate. Oh, my word. Oh,
brilliant. Brilliant. Mm. Absolutely phenomenal save. And Craig McGilvery, of course, three league fixtures now in a row, keeping clean sheets. Fantastic achievement from a fantastic goalkeeper, as highlighted by Kenny Jackett in his previous interview. OK, then, let's move on to the next one for Pompey, then. The Blues travel to Hull City tomorrow night, and now we're going to hear the pre-match thoughts of Kenny Jackett, who underlines how important tomorrow's game is.
Yeah, sort of game you want to be involved in. Live on Sky, and Hull just recently come down out of the Championship and made a fantastic start, and you know, for us as well, want to try to keep our run going. We've you know, pushed well up the table and see if we can keep the consistency.
Yeah, is it one where both teams will really feel like they deserve and belong in the Championship?
It definitely is our aim. Where you feel you get and what you get are always two different things, but 100% both sides would be, that would be their aim for the season. Looking right now at the league table, I would say going down to maybe 12th, Oxford below that have a, you know, obviously a history of being in the playoffs and are a good side as well. So there's a lot of teams will be looking for those top six places, and ultimately the three places that get into the Championship. But you're right, the top two at the moment, as it stands, although the points total is very close, are chasing those.
Yeah, as you mentioned, it's so tight at the top, sort of from first almost down to eighth. Is that something that you prefer, because it gives you a real chance to be able to move up quite significantly?
You'd always want to be away, and you know, the most points you can possibly get and do the best you can, obviously, all the time. But similarly, the reality of it is, and with the salary cap, we'll flatten it out even more. So, you know, the detail, the consistency, the effort, the attitude, the spirit, the team spirit of the side, they're important things. And, you know, for any promotion season, you have to have that. And I do feel in this group of players, I'm you know, very confident of their attitude, their application, their ability to come back if they get a disappointment is a big thing. It is an open league, though, and I do see, in terms of the points total, you know, a high number of sides being in the mix again this year.
Hull going into the game off the back of two defeats, does that make you wary at all?
Yeah, they've been close games, as many are at this stage and in this division, and we know that they have, you know, a lot of their players that played in the Championship, yeah, and if you're looking at the record of the players that they have, they're very good and made a good start for a reason. I don't really look necessarily at their results, but more importantly the performances. It's a big game for them as it is for us, and we know they'll be motivated to do well.
As you mentioned, the game's going to be live on Sky. I think it's the second televised game for you this season. Does that give your players another incentive to raise their game?
It does, definitely. We want to be sort of performing at that level where, you know, we're drawing attention for the right reasons and for our football and for a side that's chasing promotion. So, as you say, our second live TV game of the season, you know, as many of those as we can and try to give a good reflection of ourselves.
It means it's a slightly unusual one, obviously 5:30 on a Friday. What does that do in terms of the movements between then and now in terms of travelling and training?
Yeah, it doesn't really worry us. Portsmouth look after us very well in terms of preparation. We have no excuses, you know, with the long distances or whatever. And, you know, we'll be organised. And when the kickoff time comes around, we'll be ready. That's the most important thing.
And just finally, in terms of injuries, still just Lee Brown out at the moment?
Yeah, there is. Lee will be 2 to 3 weeks from the injury and is sort of already outside running, so it is a minimal one, and he's the only one that who's not available. Everybody else has trained this morning, which is good news, and looking forward to pushing for selection for tomorrow.
The Gaffer there with his thoughts ahead of tomorrow night's game at the KCOM Stadium. The Blues travel to league leaders Hull City in their next fixture with a chance to dislodge their opponents at the top of the table and place themselves on to the summit going into Christmas. Stay with us. Myself, Mark and Tom will be back very shortly with a full preview of that match right here on Express FM on the conclusion of tonight's Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back for the third and final time tonight to the Football Hour here on Express FM, which has been driven to you this season by Stagecoach across the South. Head on over to stagecoachbus.com for information on timetables, fares and the latest COVID-related guidelines. Up next for Pompey then is an away fixture at Hull, who currently lead the division. 3 points for the Blues tomorrow would see them top at Christmas, unless Peterborough somehow defeat Ipswich by at least 6 goals on Saturday, which, to be honest, I can't see happening. Here now with a closer look at the Tigers and the challenge they will pose to Pompey is Connor Mosley.
The games just keep on coming for Pompey, who were held to a 0-0 draw at home to Fleetwood Town on Tuesday night, and they don't come quite as difficult as this next one. Next up for the Blues is a trip to league leaders Hull City.
Pompey Live, this week's opposition.
The Tigers of Hull City pose as the challenge in match day 19 for Kenny Jackett's men, following a return of 7 points out of a possible 9 against 3 promotion rivals. Here's what we know about the opponents ahead of the Blues' visit to the KCOM Stadium.
Manager.
Former Peterborough and Doncaster manager Grant McCann has been in charge of the Tigers since June 2019, when he signed on a one-year rolling contract. The 40-year-old was seen at the time as a clever appointment by the Alums, and news of McCann's arrival initially excited supporters who saw him as a promising up-and-coming boss. However, with promise and potential comes lack of experience. And a gamble is what the Northern Irishman's appointment turned out to be, and the Championship turned out to be too much for McCann, who led Hull City to relegation in his first season in charge. He has, however, taken League One by storm with his side, who've set the pace in the division for the majority of the campaign. McCann, who played as a midfielder for teams such as Cheltenham, Scunthorpe and Peterborough United, has managed 28 victories from 76 games in charge of Hull City so far, accruing a win percentage of just 36.8%.
One to watch.
Midfielder Richie Smallwood, who was reported target for Pompey in the summer, is one to keep a close eye on during this game. The number 6, who also captains the team, signed for the Tigers in August on a 2-year deal from Championship outfit Blackburn Rovers. Smallwood is 29 years of age and has vast Football League experience, featuring for sides such as Middlesbrough, Rotherham and Scunthorpe before making the switch to Ewood Park.
Top scorer.
Young forward Malik Wilkes is the side's leading scorer in League One with 7 goals to his name this season. The Leeds-born winger, who turned 22 on Tuesday night, has the capability of playing up top, though is known to thrive better on the flanks in more recent seasons, his contributions from all angles of the pitch clearly paying off. Wilkes was a part of Leeds United's academy and was promoted into the first team in 2016, though failed to break through and make an appearance for the club. Loans at Accrington, Stanley, Grimsby and Doncaster allowed Wilkes to announce himself to the footballing world and earn a permanent move away from Elland Road. His switch from the west to the south of Yorkshire was made official in July 2019, when Barnsley revealed Wilkes to supporters ahead of their return to the second tier. Within 6 months, the versatile forward found himself out of favour at Oakwell and was shipped out on loan to Hull City, where he acclimatised quickly and grew fond with supporters throughout his half-season loan spell. He signed for the Tigers on a permanent deal following the club's relegation to League One.
Current form.
Despite leading the way in League One ahead of kickoff, Grant McCann's Hull side have had a bit of a dip in form, losing their previous 2 fixtures against Shrewsbury and more recently Blackpool, who took all 3 points from the Tigers in injury time on Tuesday night at Bloomfield Road. They were also knocked out of the FA Cup not too long ago, suffering a penalty shootout defeat away to Stevenage in the second round last month. From their last 5 fixtures in League One, Hull have obtained 7 points from a possible 15, but do still, of course, remain top. Pompey have picked up 8 points in the same time frame, climbing from fourth to second. It's the battle between the top two in League One, Pompey away to Hull City. All the unmissable action on Pompey Live.
Connor Mosley there with a more in-depth look at Hull City ahead of tomorrow night's fixture at the KCOM. Mark Coates, I'm sure you are delighted for the next 7 minutes and 5 seconds, because we are previewing tomorrow's game, of course, at home. Away to Hull City. And looking back on their last two fixtures, Ben Mark, and yes, they're top of the league, and yes, they are probably one of the sides who will remain there until the end of the campaign. But in current form, as Connor's just mentioned there, Hull have lost their last two games against Shrewsbury and Blackpool. And that game at Bloomfield Road in midweek, very dramatic. They'd equalised on the 89th minute, but Blackpool secured the winner in injury time through CJ Hamilton. Now, that is, of course, back-to-back defeats for Hull. So they're on a bit of a dip in form. Mark, Pompey are on a pretty decent run of form. 7 points from the last nine available, all against three, you know, promotion rivals. So would you say that Pompey go into this fixture probably with their heads held the highest?
Yeah, it's interesting to see that Hull are slight favourites, but only slight. I think Pompey are 9-5, they're 16-11. It's equivalent of 18-10, isn't it? So really, hardly anything in it as far as the bookies are concerned. And they always know their onions. They're leaking goals, like you say. We are very high scoring, side high scoring in the division. We're on Sky. It's at the KCOM, which is a beautiful stadium. It's tier three there, so there'll be no fans to support them. And on Saturday, we're going to be top, 100%. Absolutely guarantee it. Stonewall guarantee.
Oh, sure. To be honest, I can't blame him.
You're going to think this?
Yeah.
I think this is the biggest league game for Pompey since 2012, when a certain David Norris scored against Southampton. For me, this is certainly the biggest away game. I know Notts County was massive, but it was League Two. This is the biggest, the biggest league game for 8 years for Pompey.
It is a very big game, and there's no shying away from that, Tom. And you know, as we mentioned there, Hull's form, Pompey's form. This season, the Blues are looking like a bit of a different animal, in particular away from home. And this kind of match you may have feared a couple of seasons back, but actually, you know, our record against the top sides in this division so far, this campaign, not too bad. And you'd fancy our chances tomorrow. Never write off Pompey, never.
No, and I do fancy our chances. We've already won away at Lincoln, we've won away at Ipswich twice, actually, if you count the FA Cup. We've won away at Sunderland, so I don't see why we can't do the same against Hull. Yeah, I probably agree that we are slight and just slight underdogs going into it, which may even take a bit of the pressure off the lads. But, you know, nonetheless, this is going to be like a huge game. And if we can go into Christmas top of the league, I think that is a massive statement. Absolutely huge. Mm.
Anthony Hess on Twitter: a game that started off as being very entertaining on Tuesday fizzled out to a boring 0-0 draw, due mainly to Picard-happy ref's antics and his pernickety behaviour. Oh, and the Fleetwood team's irritating play acting, says Anthony Hess on Twitter. Aaron Newland is very confident ahead of tomorrow's game. We should not fear anyone, he says. Players playing in the right positions can see a massive 4-0 written all over it, says Aaron Newland on Twitter. Thank you for getting in touch, by the way, Aaron, and of course Anthony. Yeah, no playing down the size of this game, Mark. And, you know, despite recent results, Hull still do possess the quality in the team to win this fixture. And, you know, certainly in this division, perform, but can be ripped up in these kind of games. You know, you take into consideration how big this fixture is, and it's anyone's for the taking.
It is, and I tell you what, it's the 4-0 idea might be hopeful, but we've done it before, and there are goals in this game, 100%. He plays 4-3-3, doesn't
Mark.
He?
I said on Monday that the game on Tuesday would have goals in it, guaranteed, and we drew 0-0, so I wouldn't say that.
I'm not going to guarantee the goals. I think we're going to win. I think we're going to win against them, 100%. Yeah. I'll give you a prediction at the end. But yeah. I also think this could be a high-scoring game. He plays 4-3-3, McCann. We, you know, if we play 4-4-2, we've got goals in us as well. And I think there could be a high score here. This could be a cracking game. Make sure everyone's listening.
Yeah. Oh, we will. We will. You can join us from 4:30 tomorrow night. Thanks, Mark, for the plug. 4:30 we'll be on air at the KCOM Stadium. Myself and Liam will be making the very long journey up to Hull. Ryan Stilwell will, of course, be joining us here in the studio. We'll have an hour build-up of the game at the KCOM between Pompey and, of course, Hull City. And, yeah, we got a text here from... Mike T and Salsi. Evening, Jake. I thought Craig McGilvery was great in goal on Tuesday night against Fleetwood. A clean sheet again was something to celebrate. Don't forget to pack Liam's Jaffa cakes for tomorrow night. And Mike T and Salsi. That's me going to the shop after the show. We've already mentioned the magnitude of tomorrow's game, but there are a few other fixtures taking place this weekend involving some teams of which you might want to note down. The Hawks having to Waterlooville. They beat Bracknell Town on Tuesday night, and that set up an FA Trophy third round tie at home to Braintree this weekend. And those two will draw battle at the Draper Tools Community Stadium from 3 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. And the Pompey women are back in action this weekend. They defeated MK Dons by 4-1 last time out, a win which saw Jay Sadler's side move up to third in the table. And next up for those is a trip to Cardiff on Sunday, and kickoff in Wales is 2 o'clock. We got a few score predictions coming into us on the socials. I believe John Mumford is going for a 1-0 Pompey win. Tom's going for a 3-1 Pompey win. A few positive predictions here. John is going for a 1-1 draw. And that's really about all we've got it in terms of score predictions. I'm going to throw it over to you now, Mark. Your score prediction, Pompey away to Hull City. You've got around about 20 seconds or so. Your score predictions and how you see this one unfolding.
I think it'll unfold very much like that Sunderland game. I'm going 4-2. I think there's goals in it. I think we're going to win. We'll be top for Christmas. Up the Blues.
Bold. 4-2. That'd be quite something, wouldn't it? Tom Malley, your score prediction and just your pre-match thoughts ahead of tomorrow's game.
2-1, I'm going to go. I think we'll win, but I don't think it'll be a massively convincing win as in scoreline. So, yeah, win for us. Like I said, slight underdog, so it could give us a bit of a boost. We've got great wide players. Jacobs is back. We've got options all over the pitch. It's not all over the pitch, up top. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm confident we're going to win, I think.
Lads, loving the confidence here. Mark's going for a 4-2 win. Tom going for a 2-1 win. I'm going to join in the trend. I'm going to go for a 3-2 Pompey win. I agree with Mark. There's goals in this one. And I mean it this time as well. But I think Pompey will edge it. And I think the Blues will return to the top of the table for Christmas Day. And don't forget, you can join us for all of the unmissable action. Hull versus Pompey. First versus second. And it's live from here on Express FM from 4:30. And that is just about all we've got time for tonight. Thank you to Mark. Thank you to Tom for calling in this evening to talk all things Pompey. It's been a fantastic show. The time has absolutely flown by, as it quite often does, but it's been a great show and we've looked forward to it. So that's it. Next up for Pompey is a trip to Hull, and we'll be live from 4:30 at the KCOM Stadium. Coming up this evening then, Chris Pearce is live from 7 o'clock with the Express this week. He'll be joined by Alex Lochrane from Hampshire and Isle of Wight Air Ambulance and Claire Lambon from Stop Domestic Abuse until 9 o'clock, when Chaz Byrne takes over with rock music news, gossip, interviews and new releases and a classic rock tracks as well. Non-Stop Express plays nothing but great hits through until Saturday morning. Saturday morning? No, Friday morning. It's a Thursday today. I'm losing absolute track of the time. I'm not used to this. Express Breakfast with Mason Jordan, of course, 7 a.m. tomorrow morning before 10, when Darren Gamblin takes over with more moaning and more great music. Nicola Lashley takes over from 1 o'clock through till 4:30, when, of course, myself, Liam and Ryan will be bringing you all of the unmissable action from Pompey's League One fixture away to Hull City. Can the Blues go to the top of the tree ahead of Christmas Day? It would be quite something, wouldn't it? Join us for all of the unmissable action from 4:30 tomorrow. Until then, Blues fans, have a great evening, enjoy your weekend, and play at Pompey. Good night.